So, again, it's good to be meeting again. It's been, as I said earlier, it's been almost a year since we've met, and I've chosen to do a topical study tonight instead of getting back into our Women of the Word, which we'll pick up next time. It's been so long because physically I went through a lot. A year ago at this point, things were really going downhill with my body, and I didn't even realize how severely it was going downhill until now, this point in time, when I look back and I go, wow, things had gotten bad, and I didn't realize it as I was struggling to breathe and daily in pain and headaches and other stuff and after surgery, finding out things were going on that even the doctor didn't realize were going on as we got pathology reports and all of that. We praise the Lord there was no cancer, but it had taken a physical toll on my body. 2 years of symptoms happening, culminating between probably October and surgery in January, took a toll, and I had gotten weary, and it's been hard for me to pick back up. You know, even though I feel a lot better, and I mean, I feel a lot better, but it's been hard to get back into the Word. You know, when we get out of the Word and we get away from what we're in, it's easy to stay that way, you know, to get comfortable, to get whatever you want to call it, whether it's comfortable or... it's hard to pull yourself back into that. We know the Lord wants us in His Word. He wants us gathering together, fellowshipping together, but sometimes it's hard to get back in this place. And I feel that the Lord had laid on my heart, you know, I had several different things I wanted to speak on tonight, and I kept coming back to the same thing. And, you know, and He confirms through devotionals, through His Word, you know, as they all kept speaking about the same thing to me, I'm like, okay, Lord, I guess I'm speaking, I'm being weary. But the fact that He doesn't want us to be weary, He wants us to be doing good. And there are things that will make us weary, and then there are things that we can do to not lose heart. So we're going to start with Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and we will be skipping around, but I will tell you the scriptures, I'll read them and all of that. But I know. I always like the saying, go eat peaches and cream, because that's the order. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So go eat peaches and cream. Those four little books that kind of get lost there after Corinthians.
There,
yeah. So Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Or the King James would say, or if we faint not. NIV says, if we don't give up. So I wanted to look at that verse. I broke it apart, and then I wanted to look at some other verses that kind of tell us what to do if we are weary, or if we find ourselves in that place of being weary and having trouble doing good, and feeling like we're fainting or want to give up. I was in a place where, not literally my life, I didn't want to give up, but I wanted to give up a lot of things because I was physically tired. I had come to a place where I felt like I had nothing more that I could give, yet there was a lot being asked of me, you know, as a mom, as a wife, as a pastor's wife, and, you know, so many different things, so many different roles that we take on. It's easy to get tired.
Yeah.
I want to read a devotional. You know, we hand out the Days of Praise, and this was actually several years ago that this particular passage had come out. And it says, who gets weary? And it says, hast thou not known? And if you know the Days of Praise, it is packed with scripture, scripture after scripture after scripture on a topic, and it'll give a little bit of stuff. But it says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding." That's Isaiah 40:28. And so we're looking at, let us not grow weary. And we hear in this verse in Isaiah that God never gets weary. And it says, and that we'll reap in due season if we don't lose heart or if we faint not. And then we hear in this verse that God faints not. So we, as physical man in the flesh, we're going to get weary, we're going to get tired, and there's going to be times where we feel like we just can't go on. But here we have God is the opposite of that. He's not ever going to grow weary. He's not ever going to faint. And we can put our hope and our trust in that. It says everyone gets weary and everyone must rest. Even in Eden, before sin came into the world, there was a weekly day of rest. Day number 7 of creation. We didn't get there last night. We went through day 6. But day 7, what did God do? He rested from his work. Rest is important. And that was an example that he laid out for us in his word, that, hey, you guys need rest because your physical bodies just need that. So each day that of work in the garden was followed by a night of rest and sleep. Remember, he created the day. Right at the very first day, he created light and darkness, and there was day and there was night. And so he created night, and what do we do at night? We sleep, you know, that's when we rest. And then there was that seventh day of rest, which he ordained as the Sabbath day, where he wanted us to stop from our work. The Lord Jesus, in the days of his sinless human flesh, so when he came to be a man, occasionally became wearied in his journey. That was John 4:6. And he had to rest. On one occasion, he was so weary after the work he did with healings and ministering to people that during a violent storm on the Sea of Galilee, we find him asleep on a pillow. And that's Mark 4:38. While his disciples tried to keep the ship from destruction, he was sleeping. And once he advised these fretful and busy disciples to come yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. That was Mark 6:31. And we sometimes need to come apart before we fall apart, it says. So in the New Jerusalem with our new bodies, perhaps we won't need to rest or sleep, for it says in Revelation 22:5, there shall be no night there. In our present frail tents of clay, however, we do need rest, for God made us so. In one area of life, on the other hand, we are twice admonished to not be weary in well-doing, and that's one that we just read, Galatians 6:9, and 2 Thessalonians 3:13 says something very similar about not being weary. So I think there's a little bit of a difference between this weary and being tired. This weary, if you notice, is coupled with while doing good. When we're about God's business, we need to be about his business. You know, don't get tired of doing God's business. You'll have to excuse me for a minute because this is Mariah.
Oh, hello.
There's a song. We do not grow weary.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Looks like
it. Oh, I probably am.
It says, when we do get weary and perhaps are not yet able to stop and rest, we can draw on God's strength, for he fainteth not, and neither is weary. He that keepeth Israel shall not slumber nor sleep, Psalm 121:4 says. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and faint not. So very similar wordings here to the verse we're looking at. So who gets weary? Not God. And so he's where we need to put our hope. He's where we need We need his strength in the times when we are tired. But here I want you to notice, as we look back now at Galatians 6:9, he says, and let us not grow weary while doing good. If you look at those very first words, it said, let us. That's a verb. It's an action. We have our part. And when it says, let us, we have a choice to make. We can either decide to allow it or to not allow it to happen. In this case, in this verse, it tells us not to allow it to happen. Don't grow weary in doing good. The word grow here, or be weary, to grow weary or be weary, is to be utterly spiritless. To not have even the desire here is what it's saying. Don't be in a place where you don't even desire the things of God. Here it's saying, while doing good, those are the things that are excellent, that are precious, that are useful. He's saying, don't become exhausted. Don't come to the place where all of a sudden you don't even want to, the things of the word, you know, things of God, things of the word. You don't want to be in fellowship. We do, however, come to places because of what we allow in, where we, maybe it's sin or other areas in our life where we allow ourselves to get weary or spiritless and divide ourselves or separate ourselves from God. And it often can be, the word calls it just a drifting away. It can be very subtle. Mm-hmm. It can happen, and all of a sudden we're going, whoa, what happened? How did I get to this place? It's a place we never intended to be, but we find ourselves there. And our encouragement here is, let us not do that. If we find ourselves getting tired or exhausted, or we often use the word burned out, instead of turning from the things of God, we should be pressing harder into them. Well, find somebody you can talk to. You know, I'm tired. Can you pray for me? Pray for strength. In our weakness, He is strong. And press on. And what are we to press into? Those good things. Those things, the word good here means excellence in nature or character. Some things that are genuine. Things that are praiseworthy or noble. Philippians 4:8, one of my favorite verses. We as a family actually have studied that for quite a while as a family. And my iPad's going crazy. I have to go grab my phone from Fred because my Bible app is updating itself. Oh.
Oh, my. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
A nice jumble.
Philippians
4:8. Yes. Okay. Tells us what's good. What things that we can, when we are tired, when we are finding our place in a place where we feel weary. This is what the word says. Finally, brothers, or brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Mm-hmm. When we are tired, when we are restless, when we are spiritless, guess what? We think on everything but this stuff. We start having lies circle in our heads, stories. How many of you have been there? You're tired. You wake up in the middle of the night, and what do? You just think about crazy stuff. Yeah. You think about everything possible to think about, but what's true and what's good and what's lovely, and, you know, and what does he admonish us to do? Think on what's true and pure and lovely, things of good report. And so we have to take the path of, Lord, help me to take captive my thoughts. That's 2 Corinthians 10:5. Because our imaginations, it says in that verse, go crazy. Yeah. And so we have to kind of lasso those, rein them in, and take those thoughts captive. And the middle of the night is a hard time to do that. But let me tell you, you're going to rest a lot better right. the quicker you do it. Mm-hmm. I have found myself having my thoughts go crazy. And hours later, I'm like, I have just wasted 2 hours thinking about nonsense. Where when I recognize it's happening and I start get on my knees and say, okay, Lord, I'm not going there. I don't want to go there. Forgive me. Help me take these captive thoughts captive. The sooner I do it, the better things are. That rest comes in. That peace comes in, you know. And that's when we're encouraged. And as we even sang, you know, our mind is quieted. Mm-hmm. He raises up our hands that are hanging down. You know, he strengthens us. And we can move on. We can continue in doing what's good, you know, doing what's right, thinking on those things that we should be thinking on, things that are excellent, that are precious. The word doing good also means useful, doing things that are useful. How much time do we spend wasting time in our tiredness? Wasting our time often makes us tired, you know, things that we shouldn't be about, you know, and so it's also doing good things that are beautiful to look at. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. If it's beautiful to look at, guess who gets the glory? God. If we're doing good, the word says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And what does the remainder of that verse say? And glorify your Father in heaven. They're going to see what's beautiful happening in your life. And instead of it making you look beautiful, but we do look beautiful if God is doing the work and it draws their eyes to heaven, because hopefully they know that you're a believer and they know why and who your strength and who those works come from. So he wants us to be doing good. Doing is the word to produce, to form, to fashion, to put forth, to make ready, to act rightly, to carry out or to execute. So he wants us to execute his purpose, his will in our life, and to not get tired of doing that. And again, there's a difference between needing rest and physically being tired, because we cannot stay up 24/7. It's not physically possible in these bodies. Since sin entered this world, our bodies need sleep. It's just a fact. And if we don't get rest, then we actually endanger our bodies. We get sick, they'll break down, and then we are no good, you know, because we can't do that work. But if we are getting the rest that we need, and where does our rest come? We rest in Him. We can do what's good. We can be effective. We can execute what He has for us. And that's what He's asking us to do. Let us not grow weary in doing His purpose in our life, doing His will in our life. And then it goes on to say, for in due season, that is... season is a measure of time. It can be large measure of time. It can be a small measure of time. But it's always, for God, the right time. It's fixed. If it's a due season, it's a fixed time. He has a plan when He is going to bring that about. In due season. And only He knows when that season is for each one of us. But it's fixed, it's definite, and it's His time. It says we, and so here He's talking about those who don't get weary, those who press on in what He's asked them to do. We shall, which is the word we will, reap. And that's a farming term that has to do with the harvest. It's the cutting off or destroying of a crop. And you think, whoa, that doesn't sound right. We're going to cut down and destroy. Well, Why do they do that? To provide nourishment. Mm-hmm. If they don't cut down the crop, guess what happens? It rots. And it becomes no good for anybody. But if it's cut down at just the right time, it provides nourishment. Mm-hmm. It provides food. It builds other people up. And so if we don't get weary from doing what's right, at the right time, we'll be useful for His purpose.
Nice.
Otherwise, if we allow ourselves to be weary, spiritless, it says we're going to lose heart or we're going to faint. And that term is we're going to be weak. This was interesting. We're going to relax. What happens when we relax?
We sleep.
or we let our guard down,
yeah.
Right? When I'm relaxed and I don't have my guard up, guess what happens? Stuff comes in,
yeah.
Those thoughts start to go, and then I'm even farther away than I want to be, you know? So, yeah, it is. It's a vicious circle. It also means to be exhausted, to be feeble. Didn't we sing that tonight? Strengthen my feeble knees. It's easy for these frail bodies to be feeble, you know? But we can ask Him to strengthen our feeble knees, you know, and help us
mm-hmm.
with that. Another word for to lose heart is to become despondent. When we allow ourselves to be spiritless, we often can say, there's no hope, where is God? You know, we don't want to be in a place of despondency, you know. And then, of course, as you look at different versions, faint-hearted. And so we want to be the opposite of that. We want to be women who are busy about God's business. We want to occupy till He comes. Luke 19. Luke 19, verse 13 says, so He called 10 of His servants, delivered them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. This was one of the stories of, you know, there's a servant, he has, you know, has laborers and all of that, and then he calls his servants, and what does he tell them? Occupy. Be busy. Do my business until I return. And look at what else. He provided the means for them. He provided them the 10 minas. He wants us to be busy, but He doesn't want us to be busy in the wrong things. He wants us to be busy in His business, doing what's good, to occupy. So I want to take a look at some of the things that can make us weary. Scripture lays it out. I would like to go to Romans chapter 8.
Romans.
Yeah. Starting in verse 31. Let me get there. Well, I'll start in 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among men. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And when do we get weary? When we feel like everything's against us. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall be at charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. So again, we have an enemy who wants to feed us lies, who wants to drag us down, and he's the one who will come against us, and he's the one who will tell us, ooh, you are a dirty, rotten sinner, and you are not worthy of God, and then we can become weary, we pull away, we become spiritless, and then we're not doing good. You know, we're not doing those things he would have it. But it's God who justifies. It's God who makes us justified, never sinned. And I always loved that. Rosemary Gallatin always, you know, we'd be like, okay, tell me what justified means again. And she was like, justified, never done it. And so she used the word justified. You know, it's, but we can become despondent, weary, when we feel the opposite, that God is disappointed with us or whatever. Yes, sin does separate us, but we can come to him because he's never slumbers or sleeps. He doesn't get weary and he faints not. And it goes on in verse 34, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And here's quite a list of things that can make us feel weary or beat us down or make us feel despondent. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I am persuaded, and the list goes on, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And what are all of those things that were just listed? I heard a teaching today, actually, on this. There are 17 things listed here that come against what we believe, you know, what Christ has done for us. If you were to go back and count up height, depth, creatures, all of that stuff through that chapter, there would be 17 of them. And those are the things that come into our life that weary us, you know, that we can set our eyes on and take our eyes off of God. You know, when a diagnosis comes in and we're pondering, could death be coming? That takes our eyes off of God. You know, the past 2 years for me, and as I said, as it came to a head, October through January for me, you know, you start wondering what's going on. As I lead worship and I can't even sing one song without being out of breath, coming to a place where I'm wondering, okay, do I need to set my guitar down before I pass out up on this stage? You know, it had gotten bad. It had gotten to the point where, because of what was going on internally that I didn't even know was happening, I looked 5-6 months pregnant, and it was like, that was stuff that was happening physically. I didn't know what was taking place in my body, though. You know, there were things growing and moving, and I had no clue. But God is good. But those things make us question, take our eyes off God. They tire us physically. They make us weary, you know. And we become feeble, but we need to remember who and where our strength is, you know, who it's in. It says nothing can separate us from the love of God. Remember, he never sleeps. He never slumbers. He doesn't weary. He faints not. But it also talks about here principalities and powers. They can't come against us. They can't separate us from God either. And we need to say, in verse 38 says, for I am persuaded, We need to be persuaded of that. And how are we persuaded of that? By being in His Word. Mm-hmm. Because if we're not in His Word, when these things come in, guess what? We start becoming persuaded by these things instead of being persuaded by the truth of God. Mm-hmm. And then we become weary and we become spiritless. And not that God removes Himself from our life, but we quench the Spirit. And then we're not doing the good that we could be doing. But He loves us, and He wants us to know that none of these things can separate us from His love. So we need to remember that. Ephesians 3:18 says, "How deep, how wide, how long, and how high is the love of God?" You know, we can find sometimes there are people who there are people who just rub us the wrong way, make us tired, and then we don't want to do good. You know, not to that person, Lord, really? You want me to minister to that person? You know, they tire me out. They stress me out, whatever the case is. But He says, you know what? How deep is my love? How deep is my love for you? How deep is my love for that person? They may not have accepted my love yet, but my love is deep. You know, when you think of the depths of the oceans, the depths of the sea, there are places, there are depths that man hasn't even been to, hasn't even reached. His love is deeper than that. How wide? You know, when He talks about how He has taken our sin as far as the east is from the west, there's a reason He didn't say from the north to the south, because when you go from, you're traveling north, you're going north, north. Oh, guess what? Yeah. Eventually, you're going south. Eventually, north is going to meet south. However, when you're traveling east, guess what? You're always traveling east. You're never gonna end up west. If you're traveling west, guess what? You're never going to go east. So He's removed our sin as far as the east is from the west. That's wide. You know, it's never. That, you know, it's forever. So... you know what to do.
Amazing.
Go.
It's not done.
Yeah, well, then get back down there. They're in the kitchen. So how wide is His love? We know for ourselves, we have to remember that, because when we remember how deep, how wide His love is for us, we're not going to weary in pouring that love out for somebody else. How long is it? It's limitless, right? How high is it? We can see only so high, but we know spaceships have gone high. They haven't even reached how high, you know?
Billions of years.
Yeah. And so this is a limitless question. How deep, how wide, how long, how high is the love of God? We can't even, it's endless. We can't even fathom that. But that's His love for us. That's His love for others. And then He tells us, don't grow weary in doing good. You know, don't grow weary in loving others. Don't grow weary in serving others. Don't grow weary in what I've asked you to do. Because in due season, at just the right time, you're going to reap. If you don't lose heart. But when we say, oh, not that one, Lord. When we say, I'm tired, I can't. Guess what? We're not effective for Him. Remember that word said, to execute. We're not going to be able to function for Him the way He wants us to. If we put up our walls and we start to limit that, we make Him only so deep. We make His love only so wide or only so far-reaching. We limit His work. So we need to be careful. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so sometimes we grow weary because we feel like what we're doing is in vain. Nobody cares. People are mocking God. That person's not listening. I haven't seen anybody get saved. Nobody new is coming to church. No, you know, and we think, what good is it doing? We might not see the good. We don't have to see the good. We just have to keep doing it. You know, we might not see the reap. God will reap in due season. We might not see it here on this earth, but God does. Our perspective is key. It's not about what I think. It's about what He thinks. God is good all the time. He's good to all that He has made. That doesn't mean just those who love Him back. He loved all of us before any one of us loved Him. He loved us while we were still sinners. So our perspective has to be, God is good. Doesn't matter what I think. And He's good to you. And He's good at being God. He's good at what He does. He knows what's right. We may say, I don't see any earthly good coming out of this. And He says, I do. You know? So we need to trust that. So I will close with 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, and one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain. So keep running. Mm-hmm. You know, it's easy to take our eyes off of the prize. It's easy for us to take our eyes off of the mark. It's easy for us to get distracted. It's easy for us to get tired and allows us to want to take our eyes off, to get the wrong perspective, to stop wanting to do good, to lose spirit, to lose heart, and to stop doing good. But He encourages us to not grow weary, to continue doing good, so that in due season, at just the right time, we will reap if we don't lose heart, if we don't give up, if we faint not. So continue to run. Run the race. That's a good race to be in. We want to finish well. So let's pray. Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for how it speaks into our lives, Lord. And at just the right time when we need it, Lord, I know for myself, getting back to the place that You want me to be, Lord, has been long and it's been hard. And I know that I, in my flesh, have gotten in the way. But I thank You that You are faithful, that You never weary, and that You faint not, Lord, and that You are faithful even when we are not, Lord. And thank You for that reminder in Your word. Help us when we get in the way to get out of the way, to run the race that You would have us to run it well, to finish well, to keep our eyes on the prize, Lord, that You would receive glory from our lives, Lord. That You would help us in those times when our minds wander, when we get tired and weary, Lord, that we would come quickly to You and ask You to take captive our thoughts, that we would think on those things which are true, which are right, which are noble, which are pure, which are of good report, Lord, rather than on those things which are opposite of that, Lord. Help us to trust You and to keep in perspective that You are good all the time and that You are good at what You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.